I guess I'll begin by saying thank you to all of you. It often feels like, I know you're learning Sichas Haran, anyone who's learned the first piece in Sichas Haran knows that there's certain things that a person wants to say that doesn't really, the more you say, the less you say kind of thing. And Baruch Hashem, I've had this chus for a lot of years now to come, thanks to Rav Judah, who invites me every year to share some words of Torah. And I'm just continuously humbled by all of you. I never worked in Hask. Not once, I never came twice. It's always better the second time. And it's unbelievable what you do. What you're doing for Klal Yisrael. What you're doing for yourself. What you're doing for each other. And I just want to express my hakara satov, whatever that's worth, to all of you for dedicating yourselves in this way. With your care and your sensitivity and your endless kochos hanefesh and your love to give to Jewish people, it's an amazing thing, and I just want to say thank you. I saw a quote recently from Rav Moshe of Kobrin, the holy Kobriner, as he was known. And the Kobriner said, Taisi li, expression in the Gemara, Taisi li, I want to be rewarded. This is what the Kobriner said. I want to be rewarded at the end of my life that never, not once, did I say Torah. Not once in my life did I give a Dvar Torah. I want to be rewarded, I never gave a Dvar Torah. He said, that's right. I never once in my life said Torah. Rather, I spoke to Jews about how a Jew is supposed to act. And I've been thinking about that quote that I saw in the Akdama, the introduction to a Sefer of Teachings from Moshe of Kobrin. And I was thinking that that's sort of the context I want to frame tonight's shiur. Of course, we're going to learn Torah together. That's why we're here. We're turning Thursday night into Erev Shabbos. But I want this to be not a shiur, not sources, not stories, not inspiration, but Jews talking the way Rav Moshe of Kobrin said, Hashem, I know how proud you are that I didn't give shiurim, I didn't just give Torah, but I spoke to Jews in an honest way about how Jews are supposed to be. How Jews are supposed to live their lives. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av. What are we supposed to feel? What do we feel? What are we supposed to feel? Judah's already announcing like 16 barbecues tonight. So what are we supposed to feel? 1900 plus years of Galus, far geographically and in time from the Beis Hamikdash. What are we supposed to be feeling now? What's the right feeling to have? Lamaisa. How do we feel? What should we feel? A baby camel was once having a conversation with his mother. And the baby camel said, Mom, I have a couple of questions for you. Okay. Says, Mom, you know, I don't get it. Why did God make us with these like strange looking hooves? Why do we have these strange looking feet? So the mother camel said, it's a good question. It's to enable us to have the strength to travel miles and miles and miles through the Sahara Desert. It's difficult. It's hard to walk on the sand. So Hashem gave us special legs. So the baby camel says to the mother, so Mom, I have another question for you. Why did God give us, why were we created with these strange and ugly eyelashes? So the mother says, that's awesome. When we're traveling through the desert, when there's a sandstorm, it protects the dirt from going in our eyes. It protects our eyes from the sand. Okay? So the baby camel said to the mother, so Mom, I have a third question for you. Why did God create us with this grotesque humps on our back? It looks so strange. It's so weird. So the mother said, also, when we're traveling for miles and miles, we store nutrients and we store water, and it enables us to go the distance. So the baby camel turned to the mother and said, so Mom, I have one more question for you. If God gave us these strange feet to travel miles and miles in the desert, and God gave us these eyelashes to protect our eyes from the dust and the dirt, and God gave us these humps to carry water and to store nutrients, so why on earth are we in a cage in the zoo? Why are we sitting in a cage in the zoo? It's a good question. Now, I'm not here tonight to discuss why Hashem didn't just make everyone sort of in their place. Why does someone have to schlep through a desert and need the strength to go through the desert? But it's a fitting muscle to think about the 9 days, Chorban Beis HaMikdash, Jews, again, geographically in time and space, far away from the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with certain kochos ha-nefesh, and yet we're not where we're supposed to be. So, like, what's the point? What are we doing here? Rosh Ragafai of Mendelovich used to compare a Jew in Galus, a Jew in Chutz La'aretz, to a polar bear in the Bronx Zoo. A polar bear in the Bronx Zoo. You could be standing there looking at the exhibit, and the polar bear is there in its natural habitat, and it looks right, because the people who work at the zoo know how to set it up right. I should use the microphone? Okay. The people in the zoo know how to set it up right. I'll scream. So they set up this exhibit, right? It looks like the habitat of the polar bear. Everything looks right. The outer trappings are all there. And then you take a couple of steps back and you say, but what is a polar bear doing in the Bronx Zoo? Rosh Ragafai Mendelovich said, that's a Jew in Gullus. That's a Jew in Chutz La'aretz. That's a Jew who senses, like that baby camel with such a pashtus, said to the mommy camel, what are we doing in a cage? If Hashem created us with certain kochos, certain strengths and certain abilities, so what are we doing here? A Jew in Gullus is not a normal thing. It doesn't fit. The pieces don't add up. It doesn't make sense. So the question we have to ask ourselves, Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av, somehow it crept up on us. Here we are. We're deep into the 3 weeks. And we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing here? What's the master plan? Hashem, what's your plan? What are we supposed to be feeling? Listen to the words of the Maharal of Prague in the first parak of the Netzach Yisrael. Ein Safik, says the Maharal, there is no doubt in my mind. Ki agalus hu shinoi v'yetziyah min haseder. Gullus is a breach of the natural order. Gullus doesn't make sense. It's so unnatural. Shashem yisbarach seder kol uma b'mekom haharoi. Hashem, thank you so much. Hashem put every nation in its right place where it's supposed to be. V'seder es Yisrael b'makom haharoi elham. And Hashem, of course, gave us a place. It's called the Beis HaMikdash. It's called Eretz Yisrael. It's called Geula. It's called Mashiach. Call it what you will. Shu Eretz Yisrael, v'agolus min makomam hu shinoi v'yitzia legamre. And when a Jew leaves Eretz Yisrael, when a Jew doesn't have a Beis HaMikdash, when a Jew is living in a state of exile, it's crazy. It's a yitzia legamre. He's completely out of where he's supposed to be. It's the most unnatural thing in the world. V'chol hadvarim kasharim yotzim mimakom ativi. And anything that's not in its natural place, v'heim chutz l'makomam, and it doesn't add up, it doesn't make sense, ein lehem amida v'makom abilti tivi lehem. It can't remain that way. Which means that by force of necessity, it has to be rakim chozrim l'makomam ativi. You have to get back to the way that it's supposed to be. It's unnatural. It's strange, it's weird, it's crazy, it doesn't add up. But here we are, Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av, we're doing it again. And we're still not in our place. And as much as Baruch Hashem, this is a place that has, as so many great tzaddikim have said, a bechina of geula. Camp Hask is a place where you feel a sense of the redemption. It's an air of Eretz Yisrael over here. But it's not a Beis HaMikdash. And it's not Mashiach. We're not there yet. And it's unnatural for a Jew to find himself once again in Galus. The Maharal says it's like trying to take a fire and to push it down. Fire jumps up. That's what it does. It's like trying to take a piece of dirt, a piece of earth, and suspend it in the sky. It'll fall down. Its natural place is to descend to its place. Fire goes up, dirt goes down. There's a gravitational pull. A Jew is pulled towards Geula. Gullus is unnatural. It's strange. It's not a place bichlal. The Sfasemis writes in Parshas Devarim, from the year Tafresh Mem Zayin, on the first words that I hope we're not going to say this year on Tisha B'Av, Eicha Yashva. Eicha Yashva Bada. Eicha. Says the Sfasemis. You know what Eicha means? Eich Zeh Shaykh. Eicha Yashva. How is it possible for a Jew to be in Chutz La'aretz? How is it possible for a Jew to be in Gullus? It goes against our human nature. It's like a fish out of water. It doesn't make sense. The Sfasemis says, Ki kach tzarech lios b'chol ish Yisrael. The way it's supposed to be for every Jew,
is that shelo yimatzei lo makom klal begalus. He can't find a place in galus. So what do you mean we settled? How could it be yoshva that we sat? We thought we had a place? Rosh Chaim Feinstein Mendelovich said a Jew in New York is like a polar bear in the Bronx Zoo. You could have Batei Medrash, and you can have shuls, and you can have mikvahs, and you can have pizza stores with kosher sushi, and you can have this, and you can have that. You can have all the outer trappings of what looks like a nice heimische Yiddishkeit. But it's fake. It's not the real thing. Says the Sfas Emes, Eicha Yashva, there is no place called Gaz. It's not a place to chlal. When Avram Avinu is told that Klal Yisrael are going to be exiled, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, Ki ger yezar acha be'eretz lo lahem. How do you translate the words be'eretz lo lahem? A land that's not ideal for them? Or maybe as some tzaddikim explain, be'eretz, they're in a land that's an eretz lo. It's a land that's not even a land lahem, according to them. Galus is not even a place. So eicha yashva, so how did we get so settled here? How did we get so stuck? Galus is so strange, it's so unnatural, and it's so entirely other. And here we are once again, trying to figure out what on earth are we going to do to change the trajectory of Klal Yisrael. So if Galus, if we're defining Galus as a state of something which is totally unnatural, it's strange, it doesn't fit in, it doesn't add up, so then what's Geula? That's what we're really here to talk about. Not to complain about Gullus, but to figure out Gula. If Gullus is unnatural, if Gullus is imbalanced, it's unhealthy, then Gula must be something which is totally natural. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. A return to naturalness. A return to the way things are supposed to be. You see, we have things totally backwards. The Gemara says, Gemara tells the story in Mesachas Psachim, how Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, passed out. He fainted, and he saw something beyond this world. He saw the world beyond this world. And when he came to, they said, "Nu, tell us what you saw." So he said, "I saw a very strange world, an upside down world. Olam hafuch ra'isi." Famous Gemara, Psachim Daf Nun. I saw an upside down world. They laughed at him. They said, "An upside down world? No, no, no. Olam bara ra'isi. You saw the way things are supposed to be. You know how we're so crazy." We think the world as it is, like, it's okay. It makes sense. It's not so bad. And we think of Mashiach as like this crazy idea, like, whoa, what's Mashiach going to be like? We can't imagine it. It's so different. It's so otherworldly. And the Gemara is telling us we're so backwards. Our perspective has become so inverted. The way the physical eye actually works, when it takes in an image and it flips it on your brain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed our teva, our physicality, our physical eyes. See, images upside down as a reminder, olam hafuch ra'isi. Right? This world is the upside down world. Mashiach is so natural. Mashiach is so the way it's supposed to be. And when we experience Mashiach, when we experience what Mashiach is supposed to be, it's so pasha. It's so simple and it's so obvious. I remember about 10 years ago, and I was still teaching in TABC, in the boys' high school in Teaneck. So I remember I was with a group of the students, and Judge Danny Butler, who I know comes to Hass. Did he come? Did he speak this year? He's coming. Sometimes he comes. He spoke. He gave an address. It was awesome. It was an amazing speech. Very inspiring. I don't remember the whole thing. I remember loving the entire thing. But there's one thing he said which was so simple and so profound that it totally changed my perspective on Geula. He asked a very simple question. Judge Dan Butler asked a simple question as he was telling his personal story of the ups and downs of his life. He asked a simple question on a pasuk in Zechariah. Listen to how the Navi Zechariah describes Mashiach. It's in the 8th chapter of Zechariah. Ko amar Hashem Tzavakus. So says the Rabbonu Shalom. Od yeshvu zekenim uzekenos berachovos Yerushalayim. A time will come when bubbies and zadies will be able to sit at a corner cafe in Yerushalayim, sipping a coffee, sharing a laugh, looking at pictures of their grandkids. V'ish mishan tobi yado, and old people will be walking the streets with their canes in their hand, mirov yamim, enjoying arichas yamim, retirement in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. U'rechov asair yimalu yaladim v'yalados. And the streets of Yerushalayim will be filled with children, little boys and girls playing, misachim berchov asair, playing in the streets.
And Judge Dan Butler said, that's Mashiach. That's so regular, that's so plain, that's so normal. A Babi and a Zaidi sitting together, a person walking, an elderly person, picking up their groceries, picking up a challah for Erev Shabbos, children playing in the streets, that's Mashiach. First of all, boys and girls playing together, it's pastish. That can't possibly be Mashiach. You know, that's like, what's the pshat? That's Mashiach. I thought Mashiach was supposed to be like this crazy upheaval. It's so plain, it's so normal, it's so regular. And Judge Danny Butler said, when a person goes through life, and we experience some of the trials and tribulations of life, you start to realize that when life is normal, it's the biggest bracha in the world. That is Geula. When elderly Jews can sit in the streets of Yerushalayim without any fear of, God forbid, a terrorist attack, and kids can play in the streets and not be worried about anything in the world, because Yerushalayim is the Jewish homeland. That is Geula. It's so pashut, it's so simple, it's so natural, it's so real. But that is Geula. That's exactly what Geula is. I'm a person who's more mystically inclined. I like to imagine Mashiach the way the Rishon Bar Yochai describes Mashiach. Not the way the Rambam, I hate to say it, the Rambam's version of Mashiach in Hilchos Malachim, following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, I hate to say it this way, it's not a nice way to talk, it's boring. Rishon Bar Yochai talks about, you know, like loaves of bread growing on trees, clothing sprouting out of the ground. It's like, you know, like the cool special effects. That's Mashiach, no? The Rambam's Mashiach, Rabbi Yehuda's Mashiach, Rambam's a rationalist philosopher. It's so plain, it's so regular. You know what the Rambam's Mashiach is? The anti-Semites are going to stop saying nasty things about us. People are going to say, the Jews are nice people. Shkoyach, big chiddush. We'll be able to self-govern a little bit. The nations of the world will leave us alone. That's Mashiach. But based on the way that Judge Danny Butler explained the pasuk in Zechariah, yeah, that is Mashiach. That is Mashiach. When Jews can just be left alone to be the types of Jews we want to be, with a pashtus, with a holy simplicity, with a naturalness of what it means to be a Yid. Not like a polar bear in the Bronx Zoo. Not like a camel that's wondering, what am I doing in this cage? If Hashem created me to travel, to be able to accomplish amazing things, why am I not using my kochos ha-nefesh? That return to that sense of normalcy, that simplicity, that's the beauty of what Mashiach could be, and Amir Tzashem will be. A return to naturalness, a return to simplicity, a return to wholesomeness and authenticity, that's what Mashiach is. That's exactly what Mashiach is supposed to be. It's so sad. Sometimes you see Jews. Sometimes we are Jews. Let's be honest. Where our Yiddishkeit is just, it's not natural. It seems almost forced, contrived. Like I'm trying to fit Torah and mitzvahs into my life. You ever see a little kid doing a puzzle and like getting really frustrated as they're trying to fit a puzzle piece into the wrong spot? Or you know what's even more sad? You see a kid who's trying to put a puzzle piece into the right spot. If you just like turn it a little bit, it goes in so easily. And when it's a little bit off, it's like such a struggle to try to get that puzzle piece in. Torah and mitzvot is a natural fit for us. And sometimes it seems unnatural. Sometimes when we're davening, we're unnatural about it. Sometimes Shabbos doesn't feel natural. Sometimes keeping mitzvot doesn't feel natural to us. And that's such a tragedy. Because a life of geula, a life of Torah and mitzvot the way it's supposed to be, is very pashut, it's very simple. It's not so hard to get the pieces to fit together. It fits together very beautifully. Kadosh Baruch Hu programmed it just right. That our souls are able to fit, to shtim with the Torah in a way where everything comes together in just the right way. Moshe Rabbeinu's first encounter with Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, the first time he comes to Har Sinai. Remember the scene? It's by the snap. Moshe sees a burning bush. That's by Har Chorev, the Pasuk says. Har Sinai. Of course, it wasn't Har Sinai yet, but that's the place where Moshe would get the Torah. And when Moshe comes to that place and he sees that burning bush, his first real encounter with Hashem, in the makom of Torah, in the place where he's going to bring the Torah to the Jewish people. What does Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Hashem says, Moshe, you're standing on holy ground. Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha. Take off your shoes. The way Kohanim take off their shoes when they come to the Beis HaMikdash. You're standing in a holy place. So I'll tell you a vart. I'll tell you an idea Hashem gave me a couple of years ago. Maybe it's silly, maybe it's amistic, I don't know. Why did Hashem tell Moshe, you're standing on our scene, I take off your shoes? I understand, Pasha Pshad, you're in a holy place. You don't bring your dirty shoes into a holy place. The Mishnah Brachos says you take off your shoes when you walk up Har HaBayis. I understand. But maybe, just maybe, Hashem is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, when a Jew comes to Har Sinai, it's a Jew coming home. It's like when I come home from, you know, from a long day and I take off my shoes and I put on my slippers. It's like to walk around my house barefoot a little bit. Hashem says, I want you to feel at home at Har Sinai. I want you to feel comfortable at Har Sinai. This is your bias. Put your feet on, your shoes off. Get comfortable here. This should feel natural to you. I love the guys in YU who like walk around with their shoes off in the base medrash. You know, it's like a little weird, but like, gotta give, like, you know, it's like a covered for a guy who like feels like base medrash is my place. I'm around barefoot in the base. It's a little weird, right? But it's also very holy. And it's just my place. This is my home. I feel at home here. It's natural here. It makes sense being here. When the Baal Tani describes in chapter 21, the concealed state of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, there's a lashon from the Medrash. The Medrash says, it's kahadin kamtsa de levushe minei ubei. It's like a snail or a turtle, where its levush, where its garb, where its clothing, is minei ubei, is part of it. As I heard from one of my rabbeim, Rav Shmuel Braun, he said, in the name of his cousin, a turtle, you know what's amazing about a turtle, or a snail? Wherever it goes, it's always home. It's always home. Wherever it travels, it's always at home. Because it wears its house on its back. That's the state of the Shekhinah in this world. The state of the Shekhinah in this world is supposed to be what? Where it's at home. A certain naturalness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world, Mashiach is supposed to fit. And yet for some strange reason, Mashiach to us is this like crazy idea, this, you know, like outer space, some sci-fi movie. And Golus makes a lot more sense to us. And that's so unnatural. And the avoda of getting back to Geula and getting out of Golus is a return to a naturalness in Avodas Hashem. The recognition that just like Geula is natural, Avodas Hashem, mitzvos, are a natural fit for a Jew. To be honest, to be authentic, to be wholesome, and to be simple. That's a state of Geula in the life of a Jew. This past Tuesday was the Yahrzeit site of Rav Yehuda Amital. Rav Amital was the founding Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva in Gush, of Yeshiva Har Etzion, a Holocaust survivor, an amazing Jewish theologian, thinker, a great person. Rav Judah probably spoke about him many times. A very, very great, unique, deep-thinking Jew. A person who fought on behalf of Klal Yisrael in the establishment of the State of Israel. An amazing personality. And he once shared a very honest and personal reflection on his life. These are his words. Listen carefully. It's in his biography. Over the past 40 years, no? What do you think the mission statement for an accomplished Rosh Yeshiva, a Talmud Chacham, a great scholar, a person who fought, a politician, a person who built yeshivas, built communities, a very unique personality, connected in all areas of Jewish life. What do you think his like mission statement, 40 years of life, a recap on 40 years of life? What was I trying to do? Listen to this, and you'll get a taste of what Geula is like. Over the past 40 years, I have faced one challenge. To be a normal Jew. To be a normal Jew. And more importantly, to have normal students and normal friends. Anyone with even the slightest spiritual interest also has a bit of insanity. You have to be a little bit crazy, you know, to buy into a life of Avodas Hashem. But Rav Amital said, but I strive to be normal. I want Torah and mitzvot to be normal. I want my relationship with Hashem to be totally normal. What did he mean by that? 40 years, reflecting on 40 years of accomplishment, putting his life on the line to build Eretz Yisrael. And he said, what was I trying? I was just trying to be normal. I was just trying to be normal with normal friends and normal companions and normal students, normal relationships. What type of normal was he talking about? 1997, Parshas Truma, Shalash Shudas, Rav Amital gave a sicha. And he shared some of the following ideas, which I think helps to contextualize this statement, 40 years of trying to be normal. Let's begin with the halachic context. That's how Rav Amital began. There's a very interesting psak. The Gemara has a Maseches Sukkah on Daf Memhei. The Gemara says, Sukkah Daf Memhei, it's based on a pasuk in Parshas Truma, that was the Shabbos he spoke about it in 1997. The pasuk says, Atze Shitim Omdim. When you're building the Mishkan, you should build it out of Atze Shitim, Shitim wood, which is Omdim, which is upright. Says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Memhei Amud Beis, Kol haMitzvos Kulam, Ein Adam Yotze Behen Elach Eladerech Gedilasam. When a Jew does a mitzvah, if you want to do the mitzvah, you have to do it in the way that it grows. The planks that are going to make up the structure of the Mishkan, the beams have to be upright, the way that it grows. You hold your lulav, make sure you don't hold it upside down. Esrog, don't hold it upside down. We hold it upside down to make the bracha, that's a technicality. But then we turn it over. Everything, when you do a mitzvah, you want to be mekayim a mitzvah, ein adam yotzeim behen mitzvah eladerech gidilasam. The mitzvah has to reflect the natural growth, the way that it grows. Rav Avital said, Chazal are not just telling us, Yishun Bar Yochai is not just telling us how a Jew is mekayim a mitzvah of lulav, how you hold an esrog in your hand, how you build a mishkan. He's telling us that when a person grows in Avodas Hashem, it has to reflect the natural way that things grow. A naturalness in all aspects of our Avodas Hashem. In the service of Hashem, a Jew has to be mekayim the mitzvahs of his life, derech gidilasan, the way that it grows. Rav Amital said, some people think that if you want to be an Eved Hashem, if you want to be a person of Yerah Shemayim, you have to always be anxious, you have to be nervous, you have to feel like, you know, maybe I'm not doing enough, maybe it doesn't fit in, maybe it's not right. He said, that's not Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem is what? Your Yotze, your Mitzvah, when it's Derech Gidilasan, when it fits the natural order of things, the way things are exactly the way things are supposed to be. He quoted the Gemara in Chulin, where the Gemara in Chulin says that Mar Ukva said about himself, compared to my father, I'm like vinegar, the son of wine. I'm like spoiled wine. My father was wine, precious wine. I'm vinegar, the son of wine. Chulin daf kufhe. Because my father was so frum, when he would eat fleishiks, he wouldn't eat milchiks for a full day. 24 hours between milk and meat. By me, I wait, you know, like regular people. I wait till the next meal, whatever it is, 6 hours, 3 hours, whatever your minhag is. So Rav Amital said, I heard from one of my rabbeim, Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer. No? So why don't you wait a whole day like your father? Your father had a hanhaga. He had a way of carrying himself. When he ate meat, he would wait a day before he ate milk. He couldn't do it. Mar Ukva, why'd you say that? I'm vinegar compared to my father. My father was wine, I'm vinegar. Just do it. Do it like your father. Right? It was a chumrah, but okay. Why? You couldn't do it. Why didn't he do it? And Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer said, because Mar Ukva understood, it was inappropriate for him to do. It's not derech gidilasan. What do you mean? My father does it. That's my father. It's not me. That's not me. That's not my relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And if I do it, it's not going to help me get close to Hashem. It's going to be unnatural, and unnatural is gulus. Unnatural is a state of gulus. Someone shared with me a quote just the other day, an unbelievable quote. Listen to this quote. I'm sure it was said in Yiddish, but I'll read it to you. I'll read you an English translation of it. It was said by the Rebbe of Stefan Esht. The Rebbe of Stefan Esht said the following. Listen to this, an unbelievable quote. Rav Avraham Matisyahu of Stefan Esht. He was the Rebbe of the Ribnitzer. Listen to this unbelievable quote. Personally, I do not know the meaning of the word from. What he said, I don't know what the word from is. People talk about from. This person's very from, they're not so from, not yet from, I'm from, you're not from, I'm more from, this person's less from. Personally, I do not know the meaning of the word from. My father never mentioned such a word. But it appears to me, listen to this, listen how sharp this is. But it appears to me that from is a type of garment whose outward cover is pride, whose lining is anger, and which is sewn with the blackness of depression. Trying to be from isn't natural. That's not what Hashem wants from you. That's not Ratzon Hashem. What do you mean? It's synonymous with Ratzon Hashem. I want to be from. From? My understanding, said Rav Avraham Matisyahu Stefan Esht, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh L'Vracha, is a garment, its outward covered is pride, its lining is anger, right? Trying to be frommer than someone else, and it's sown with the blackness of depression. Because there's an element of trying to be from. What does the word even mean? What are we trying to become? What are we trying to do? Hashem wants you to be you and to relate to His Torah the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you. That's Geula. That's naturalness. That's Rav Amital, an accomplished Jew, saying for 40 years I was trying to be normal in my relationship with the Kodesh Baruch. And then Rav Amital quoted the Baal Shem Tov. Where the Baal Shem Tov explained, Kol echad tzarich lisnag al pi madrigasim. A person, we're striving Jews, we're growing Jews, beautiful. But if you want to get somewhere in life, you want to feel good about yourself, and not to feel good about yourself, just to trick yourself to feel, if you want to genuinely feel you have an authentic relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, says the Baal Shem Tov, a person needs to act lefi madrigasim. Your father kept 24 hours between milk and meat, that's not for you. If it is for you, gevaldik, do it. But if you're doing it just because someone else did it, it could destroy your relationship with the Kodesh Baruch. Masha ein keina tofes madrega she'eino shalo. When a person tries to do something which is not appropriate, it's not an age-appropriate expression of Avodas Hashem, ze v'ze lo neskayma biyado. Then you know what you're left with? Nothing. And he quotes the Gemara, Brachos daf lamed hey, where the Gemara says, many people tried to be like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and they failed. And the Baal Shem Tov said, you know why they failed? Because they were doing it because they wanted to be like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. They didn't say, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai does this and it's good for me. They said, I want to be like that guy. I want to be like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. You're trying to be someone else, you're guaranteed to fail. And I think it's so obvious to us. Don't forget, who is the Gemara in Sukkah that said, you want to be Bekayim a mitzvah, do it in the way that it grows. That was Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. He was the one who taught us that. The great Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, stop, don't try to be Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Try to be you. That's Geula. When a Jew has a healthy sense of who he or she is supposed to be. And I'm not trying to be someone else. And I'm connected to mitzvahs in a way where the puzzle piece falls right into place. Not struggling. Not a polar bear in the Bronx Zoo. Or a camel that should be somewhere in the Sahara Desert, trapped in a cage, wondering why on earth did God give me these humps and these strange hooves and these long eyelashes. When a person understands the naturalness of Avodas Hashem. When a Jew is able, like Rav Judah talks about all the time, those who've been listening to the Sichos Haran Shiur, Rabbi Nachman describes how a Jew has to be able to what? To talk to Hashem. To talk to Hashem. Rabbi Nachman Mendel of the Teps writes in a letter in the Priya Aretz, letter 22. He says, why is it that sometimes a person's davening, all of a sudden your mind's racing in all these strange places? He says, you know why? Because you're not davening. You're not davening in a way that's appropriate for you. You're not talking to Hashem in an honest and real way. So Hashem is pushing it away. And Hashem is filling your mind with all sorts of distractions and all sorts of strange thoughts. Because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So naturalness is authentic of Avodas Hashem. And naturalness is the way that we return to Geula. If Gullus again is a state of living a life that's totally unnatural, that's totally abnormal, that's totally strange, that's Olam Hafach. So when a Jew comes back to his place, and a Jew comes back to, again, his existential place, where I am in my relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's experiencing Geula. The Belzer Rebbe said, Gullus takes place in three dimensions. The Belzer Rebbe said there's Gullus in place. When a Jew gets kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, when Hashem takes away a Beis HaMikdash, that's one type of Gullus. When a Jew is exiled from a fellow Jew, when we feel disconnected from one another, that's a second Madrega. That's a second level of Gullus. But the Belzer Rebbe said, you know what the worst Gullus in the world is? You know what the scariest Gullus in the world is? When a Jew is exiled from himself or herself. When we're not connected to ourselves. It's not about being kicked out of a particular land. It's not about not fitting in with someone else. It's when you're so lost, you don't even know where you're supposed to be. When your Avodas Hashem has become unnatural, as we've been describing tonight. The Belzer Rebbe says the second level, when there's an unnaturalness in one's relationships. Someone once came to the Lubavitch Rebbe shortly after he was Rebbe. Now people go to Rebbes, they ask a lot of questions. It's good, you should seek advice from people who you look up to. But someone came to the Lubavitch Rebbe. He was dating a young woman, and he asked the Rebbe, should I get engaged to this girl? That was the question he asked the Lubavitch Rebbe. And the Lubavitch Rebbe responded, and I quote, when it comes to a marriage, not I can help you, not your father can help you, not your mother can help you, not your seichel can help you. The only thing that can help you is your heart. If you feel for her, go ahead. If you don't, then don't get engaged. Lubavitch Rebbe, your heart. Medrash says in Shir HaShirim that Liban Shel Yisrael, the heart of the Jewish people, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Trust the divine spark inside of yourself. Are you so detached from yourself that you need to ask someone else if I should get engaged to this person? You don't know? You don't have an internal compass? Are you in such an internal state of gullus that you don't even know? You don't even know how you feel about the most important decision you're making in your life? If you're not sure, then maybe you need to think about it a little bit more. A person can be so disconnected. And the Belzer Rebbe says that is the scariest form of disconnect that exists in the entire world. I saw an amazing description. Roberto Gershenfeld tells the story of the arrival of his wife's grandfather in Mir for the first day. The first time Roberto Gershenfeld's wife's grandfather came to Mir for his first day in Mir. Who is Roberto Gershenfeld's wife's grandfather? Rav Shimon Schwab. Rav Schwab came to the Mir Yeshiva in Mir. In real Mir, in Europe. First day. And Rav Schwab had learned in other yeshivas. And in the yeshiva that he was used to learning in, people would come to the Beis Medrash with lots of svarim. Big stacks of svarim. Not just a Gemara, Rishonim, and more Rishonim, and svarim, and svarim, and svarim. He comes to Mir, and his old yeshiva is used to sitting at a table. You have room, you know? Look at all these svarim. No, Rav Israel's got a nice stack of svarim. A nice stack of svarim. It's good. You know, a Jew likes to sit. A nice stack of svarim. Plenty of good svarim. Not a good svarim. So he comes to the Beis Medrash, his first day in Mir. And he walks in and he sees there's no tables. Everyone gets a shtender. A chair and a shtender. So Schwab is like trying to juggle his svarim. He puts some on the chair and he's like leaning some hanging off the shtender and he's trying to find the spot for his Gemara. He's juggling the svarim and the svarim are starting to fall down. He sits down, he puts the svarim on his lap and he's trying to like, he hasn't even got the Gemara open yet. And in walks Rav Yeruchim Levavitz, the great Rav Yeruchim, the great Mashgiach of Mir. And he walks over to Rav Schwab and he's just staring at him. He sees him, he's like, he's sitting there so uncomfortable, he got the svarim on his lap and the svarim hanging off the shtender and doesn't even have room to open his Gemara. And Rav Yeruchim is just like staring at him, like shaking his head. For a long time, Rav Schwab said it felt like a really, really long time. Until finally Rav Yeruchim says to him, with the pashtus of a Galil B'Yisrael, he says to a young Rav Shimon Schwab, he says, maybe in your old yeshiva, they learned the Gemara with Rashi and Tosos, and this one's explanation, and that one's explanation, and more svarim, and more mafarshim, and more explanations. He said, here, we come to the shtender, we open the Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. He said, put away all these extra svarim. They're beautiful. You look so unnatural. Like, what are you doing? You're so overburdened with all this extra that you can't even open your Gemara. He said, put aside all of the extra things. They're holy things. Put aside all of the extra things, and then you'll be able to sit down and finally be able to learn. My friends, that's what Geula is. Geula is a Jew putting aside all the extra things. Not trying to be from to fit someone's description or some other person's description of what it's supposed to look like. But being true to yourself, coming back to your place in your relationship with Hashem, in your relationship with others, in your relationship with yourself. I want to end with a final story. It's a strange story. I hope you'll understand that. I hope I understand that. I'm not sure that I understand it. It's a story that Rav Soloveitchik said he heard from his father when Rav Chaim Volozhiner was asked what Mashiach is going to look like. Rav Soloveitchik, in his Sefer on Tshuva, tells this story. And to me, this captures everything I'm trying to share with you tonight. I'm going to read you a little bit the words of the Rav. Listen to the words of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was once asked, how will the Mashiach come? He responded, let me describe to you the coming of Mashiach. Okay? According to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the student of the Vilna Gaon, okay? Someone we could count to give us an authentic description of what Mashiach is supposed to look like. What Geula is supposed to look like as we begin the 9 days, hopeful that maybe this year will be a little bit different. I come home from yeshiva on a normal weekday morning just after davening Shachris. My Rebbetzin asks me, Chaim, would you like your breakfast now? And I reply, Rilke, that was her name, My day's lecture is not yet prepared. I won't eat until I examine the text I am to teach today at the yeshiva. I have to finish preparing my Gemara shir. I can't eat breakfast yet. I'm too distracted. Okay. All right, Chaim, says she to me. As you wish. Until you finish preparing your lesson, I'm going to the market to do some shopping. Meanwhile, I'll leave the sauce cooking on the stove. Please pay attention, Chaim. This is Rav Chaim Volozhiner we're talking about. Please pay attention, Chaim, that it doesn't get burnt. Make sure, please, for I know you well. You tend to forget everything else when you're studying a Torah text. My wife leaves for the market, and I open a book and begin to learn the text at hand. Suddenly, I feel the sun shining much more powerfully than it had before. What a brightness! Then I suddenly hear the birds in the garden chirping a new tune, a stirring, enchanting melody. And then I hear a noise coming from the street below. I put my head out of the window, and I see Ellie the cobbler running in great excitement. What is it, Ellie? What has happened to the sun's rays? How come the birds are singing so marvelously? How come the trees are suddenly blooming with new leaves? What's happening? What, Rabbi, don't you know? Says Ellie, staring at me. Mashiach has come. Ellie the cobbler comes to Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Don't you realize? It's Mashiach, the light of Mashiach, the rays of Mashiach shining on the world. I immediately race to the wardrobe to get my Shabbos clothing, so as to dress up and go out to greet the king, Melech Mashiach. I take out my best suit, and alas, a button is missing. Chaim Volozhiner is missing a button in his jacket. On Saturday night, the button fell off. When I asked my wife to mend it, she said to me, "What's the rush? You don't need it till next Shabbos." So now I have to go out and greet Mashiach, and my suit has only two buttons instead of three. While I'm standing and deliberating with myself whether to put on my best but defective suit, or maybe to wear something else, all of a sudden my wife comes running home and breathlessly says, "For heaven's sake, Chaim, where were you? The sauce on the stove is burnt. I told you to keep an eye. I was cooking something. You burnt the soup." I say to my wife, "What do you care about the burnt sauce? Hurry and dress up in your Shabbos best and come to greet the king. Come and greet Mashiach with me." In this tale, concludes Rav Soloveitchik, which I heard from the mouth of my father, is encapsulated the whole story of the redemption. Chaver, what's the pshat in this story? It's a funny story, no? Rav Chaim Volozhiner coming out to greet Mashiach. He's missing a button on his jacket. The Rebbetzin so busy worrying about the sauce burning on the stove. Rav Chaim Volozhiner asking Eli the cobbler, "What's the pshat with the sun shining so brightly all of a sudden and the birds chirping? Don't you know Mashiach is here?" Rav Chaim Volozhiner debating, "What should I wear to go greet Mashiach?" It's so strange, but it's also so real, and it's so normal. A Jewish man forgetting to take care of what his wife told him to take care of. A Jewish Rebbetzin wanting to cook a nice dish, doing a little shopping in the market. And yet somehow Mashiach is coming amidst all of this. And a Pashut Yid, Eli the cobbler, is the only one who seems to know what's really going on. My friends, to me, that's the story of Mashiach. Rav Soloveitchik said, "In this tale, which I heard from the mouth of my Holy Father, is encapsulated the whole story of redemption." It seems silly. It seems a little bit off. It seems a little bit plain and regular and like a little bit too normal. The Rav Chaim Volozhiner would paint such a normal picture of the messianic redemption unfolding. But I think we can all relate to it. You know? I'm not as ready. My button's hanging off my jacket. I'm not as ready as I need to be. And I messed up a couple of things, and you know, the thing I was trying to prepare got burnt and got ruined. But I'm trying to just live life in a very real and honest way. And Rav Soloveitchik said that's exactly what Geula is. Geula is a Jew trying to live life the way it's supposed to be. Getting those puzzle pieces of Avodas Hashem to fall back into place. To talk to Hashem and to not get distracted because I'm not trying to do something beyond my madrega. And to be able to not be like that polar bear stuck in the Bronx Zoo. To not be someone who's pretending to be Rav Shimon Bar Yochai when I'm not Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And that's exactly what Rav Amital, again, whose yard site was this past Tuesday, said. 40 years of my life, I want to be a normal Yid. A normal Erlicha Pashut Yid. With an honest and sincere connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A connection that's real and a connection that's honest. So Mirza Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. Mirza Hashem, we should be able to see the fulfillment of what the Navi Zachariah described. What Judge Danny Butler said, describing his own life of ups and downs. Od Yeshu Zakenim Zakenos, Rechovas Yerushalayim. a plain and regular picture. Bubbies and Zaydis sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim. Children playing in the street. Jews just being healthy, normal, good, erlich, practicing Jews. Each person, according to his or her madrega. That's Geula. That's exactly what Geula is. And Amir Tzashem, we should have the honesty and the sincerity and the depth of soul to look at ourselves and to just know exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from each and every one of us. And then Amir Tzashem, we'll come back to that beautiful image of Zechariah. We'll come back to Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, and to enjoy sitting in those streets of Yerushalayim as HaKadosh Baruch Hu smiles down upon us with the Geula Shleima B'mehera B'yameinu. Amen.